This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Brian Hooker's sailboat had a $33,000 thermal infrared camera mounted on it, allegedly. $33,000. That's quite a camera. Not a toy, a professional-grade system with self-tracking capability and motion detection, the kind of camera that can pick up a human body in the water at night. On the evening of April 4th, somewhere in the waters off Abaco Islands in the Bahamas, Brian's wife, Lynette, went into the ocean. Brian says she fell from their dinghy in rough seas. He says the current carried her away and he lost sight of her. He says he paddled for hours to reach shore. He never turned that camera on, though. Not once. And that's not even the part that should bother you the most, because his own GPS, pulled weeks later by federal investigators, tells a story that doesn't match the one he told police. It points to a completely different location, a location Brian Hooker never apparently mentioned to anyone. Allegedly. So, I mean, again, we're going to get into this story. Allegedly, in my opinion, he has not been charged yet. So there's that. Maintains his innocence. Your thoughts in the comments section as we continue to work through this. Lynette Hooker hasn't been seen since April 4th. Her body has never been recovered. And the boat she shared with her husband, a sailboat called Soulmate. Hey, baby, let's go out onto Soulmate. What do you say?
Let's get out of the ocean and let's make some love on Soulmate.
Okay, there's, you know, if Barry White. He ain't no Barry White. That sailboat is sitting in a federal warehouse in Fort Lauderdale being taken apart by forensic teams. And there's something else about that night. The Soulmate had an AIS system, an electronic transponder that broadcast a vessel's position to other boats and authorities. Standard safety equipment. On the night Lynette disappeared, that system, it went dark. It stopped transmitting for 11 hours. Then it came back on. Is that a malfunction? We'll get to what the expert says it is in just a moment. First, I need you to know who these people are. Lynette Hooker was 55 years old from Onsted, Michigan. Lenoir County, small town, brick bungalow on Salt Lake in the Irish Hills. She had a daughter, Carly Aylesworth, from a previous marriage around 2000. She married Brian Hooker. And the two of them lived a pretty ordinary Midwestern life for a long time. Then in 2023, they bought a sailboat, a 1980 Morgan 461 out of Rockport, Texas, a former charter boat from the Virgin Islands. Lynette appeared in a video on the deck and said it was a little rough on the edges. She smiled and said, but we knew we were up for the task. They named the sailboat Soulmate. They spent a year restoring it. They launched a YouTube channel called The Sailing Hookers, started documenting the whole thing, the Gulf crossing, the Florida coast, the Bahamas, the retirement dream, right there on camera, smiling, laughing, two people who sold the life they knew and sailed into a new one. That's what it looked like on camera. Off camera, neighbors and family members have described something different. Their marriage was turbulent, volatile, particularly when alcohol was involved. And there's a police report from 2015 and a claim from Lynette's own daughter that we will need to get to, because the things Carly Aylesworth says happened behind closed doors are the reason this case stopped being a missing person story and became something else entirely. But the timeline comes first. The Hookers had been in the Bahamas for about a month. April 4th, they went to a dinner at the Abaco Inn in Hopetown. It was a pleasant evening. They were seen together at the restaurant at approximately 7:30 p.m., 4 minutes after sunset. They left the inn and got into their dinghy, an 8-foot hard bottom inflatable with a small motor. The plan, according to Brian, was to head back to the yacht, to Soulmate, which was anchored near Elbow Cay. Brian's account to the Royal Bahamian Police goes like this. Rough weather, high winds, choppy water. Lynette fell overboard. She had the ignition key on her arm when she went in. The engine cut out. The current took her. He lost sight of her. He couldn't get to her. He paddled the dinghy to Marsh Harbor. He arrived around 4 a.m. He reported her missing the next morning. 8.5 hours between losing his wife in the ocean and telling anyone about it. He posted to social media afterward, "I am heartbroken over the recent boat accident in unpredictable seas and high winds that caused my beloved Lynette to fall from our small dinghy." An interesting amount of detail in that. Also telling a bit of an alibi. I mean, and look, I mean, you can have your alibi. I get it. I mean, if that happened and people are criticizing you and people are questioning you and you are now the focus of a bit of an investigation, I would probably put some clarification wording in that statement as well. Everyone's going to look at that and go, see, he's trying to. Yeah, I mean, either way, here's the deal. You make it too short. Like, yeah, you know, it's heartless. You make it too detailed. Yeah, it's a lot. Maybe somewhere in between. I'm heartbroken over the recent boat accident in unpredictable seas. Stop there. That's it. I loved her dearly. We would blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a lot, I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could word that, but I'm thinking from a PR standpoint, not an emotional standpoint, and everybody deals with this stuff differently. So I don't know. I'm not going to hang on that too long, but your thoughts in the comments. In a recorded phone call, he described it as a cascade of failures. He told ABC News his sole focus is finding Lynette, no matter how likely or unlikely that is. That's his version. Here's his stepdaughter's version. Carly Aylesworth got a phone call from Brian that Sunday evening, somewhere around 8 to 8:30. She told CNN the delivery was matter of fact. He said, "Hey, your mom is missing. We don't know where she is. She's been missing since last night, but we're going to come up there soon to see you." And then according to Carly, he pivoted to talking about something else. And then he hung up. Okay. Carly told CNN she was still processing when the line went dead. How do you just lose my mom? Carly didn't stay quiet. She went on Fox News within days. And what she said turned this from a maritime accident into a national story. "There's history of him choking her out and threatening to throw her overboard," she told Fox News. "So the fact that this is actually happening makes me believe there's more to the story," she told People magazine, "that Brian had, quote, anger issues, was strict, and had a need for controlling my life when she was growing up. She said her mother kind of, quote, just kind of let him dictate my life," unquote. She told CNN she couldn't understand why Brian didn't drop anchor and look for Lynette. Why? He paddled the other direction. And she raised a point that really hasn't gone away. Brian was always the one driving the dinghy. Lynette having the key did not make sense. If you're unfamiliar with boating etiquette, and I can tell you I'm not the most up on it, but I've been on a boat or two in my life. Actually, first time was a couple weeks ago in several years. When you're on a boat, if you're the driver, you typically have the key attached to you, and it's usually a little floaty or something. You hope that's a good thing. So if it falls, it floats back up. But then also, if you go overboard, it pulls the key out of the ignition, and then it kills the boat motor. So your boat doesn't just like endlessly drive away from you while you're in the water. So having the key on her is interesting. Again, if we're going to play devil's advocate for a moment, I mean, she could have been the one holding the key. She could be like, "I got it." And they were in the dinghy. But if they were in the dinghy and they were driving, okay, so it doesn't add up all that much, in my opinion. So, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Got to parse through each piece, though. Just to go, okay, what could also be happening? Because, you know, you go through life, go through your days and go, Oh, yeah. If somebody looked at that, they might go, well, that's odd. But it's just like, it's the idiosyncrasies of life. Sometimes you do. I got the keys. They're not your keys. Somebody else is holding them. But that's the thing is when you're driving the dinghy, if it's in there, she'd be the one driving. So I don't know. I'm throwing random shit out there that I have no idea. Did Brian have some beverages with dinner? And she said, I'll drive the dinghy back. I mean, the daughter was not in that boat. So that is important to note as well. This is her opinion. But it does seem to be based on, you know, history, which tells you a lot. So there's that. Brian, through his attorney, Terrell Butler, categorically and unequivocally denied any wrongdoing. And we're not saying he did it here by any stretch of the imagination. We are just parsing through the information that is coming up. But then the 2015 police report surfaced. February 2015, Kentwood, Michigan, police responded to a domestic call at the hooker's home. Both spouses accused the other of starting it. Brian was intoxicated, bleeding from the nose. He told officers Lynette had struck him in the face 4 to 5 times. Lynette told officers that Brian hit her in the forehead and choked her. She had no visible injuries. Lynette was the one arrested. She spent the night in county jail on assault charges. The warrant was later denied. The official finding was insufficient evidence as to who started the assault. Separately, court records show Brian was acquitted of child-related charge in Kentwood in 2006. And Carly's summary of the marriage across all of it, a history of not getting along, especially when they drink. Those are all the allegations, and according to that are out there. A neighbor in Onsted, Jordan Plentz, described their relationship as rocky and told News Nation that Lynette had been trying to get away from the domestic violence situation. Information she came directly, that came directly from Lynette's mother. None of this proves anything about what happened the night of April 4th. But it tells you why nobody else to Lynette Hooker believes she simply fell off the boat. Here's where the investigation went and has gone so far. April 7th, Bohemian authorities shifted from search and rescue to recovery, meaning they no longer were looking for a living person. April 8th, Brian was arrested by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. He was held for 5 days, released, no charges filed. His attorney said there was no evidence to keep him in custody. He stayed in the Bahamas for a time, telling ABC News he was staying until his visa ran out. Meanwhile, the U.S. Coast Guard opened its own criminal investigation. The Coast Guard Investigative Service out of Miami put out a public appeal. They wanted to interview the owner of a vessel that had been moored near Soulmate that night. Carly Aylesworth was interviewed by the Coast Guard's Detroit sector for 2 hours. She provided DNA at investigators' request. Lynette's mother, Darlene Hamlet, told reporters that nobody had been keeping her informed. The investigation was growing, but answers apparently we're not. And by mid-May, the Coast Guard would send surface ships and aircraft to intercept the Soulmate at sea. Not at a dock, not by request, but 40 miles off the coast of Florida in what they called a complex surveillance and interdirection operation. When federal law enforcement intercepts your home at sea using helicopter assets, they're not investigating an accidental drowning. But that's ahead. First, the data that changed everything. CBS News reported that digital forensic evidence pulled from one of Brian Hooker's electronic devices showed a GPS track of his movements on the water the night Lynette disappeared. That track did not match what he told investigators. According to reporting, the data showed the device moving out of the water, stopping in the Sea of Abaco, and returning. The stop point was in a completely different area than where Brian told authorities Lynette went overboard at. Reports indicated Brian may have directed search crews to the wrong location entirely. Investigators used that data to identify a new search zone. They asked Lynette's family members to provide DNA to help identify anything they might find. Those are the allegations that are floating around. Then the AIS data came out. Fox News Digital obtained the tracking records for Soulmate's automatic identification system, the transponder that broadcast a vessel's position. Yeah. On the night Lynette vanished, the system stopped transmitting. It went dark 11 hours of darkness. Then it came back on. A maritime expert quoted in the report, put it rather simply, if the system had died and never came back on, you'd assume a hardware failure. But shutting off and then turning back on is an action whereby the system was turned off or disabled. That expert called it highly suspicious, and it wasn't an isolated event. There were three additional periods between April 10th and 13th where the AIS was not transmitting. The night Lynette disappeared and the days afterward while Brian was still aboard. Two separate electronic systems, both telling a story. Brian didn't tell. Between May 8th and May 10th, the Coast Guard made its move on Soulmate. The sailboat was seized approximately 40 nautical miles off the coast of Melbourne, Florida, at sea, not in a marina, not cooperatively. The official description was complex surveillance and interdirection operation coordinated by CGIS with surface assets from Coast Guard Sector Miami and aviation assets from Air Station Miami. During the seizure, Soulmate lost engine power. The Coast Guard cutter Winslow Griser towed it to Fort Pierce, and investigators later moved it to a port in Fort Lauderdale. The boat is now in federal custody. Evidence from the case is being processed by the FBI at Quantico. A U.S. official confirmed to CBS News that the case is being investigated under a federal statute covering the possible foreign murder of a U.S. national. The official said that characterization shouldn't be interpreted as a new shift, but it names the framework investigators are working within. The bias for U.S. jurisdiction. Brian Hooker is an American citizen. Lynette Hooker is an American citizen. Soulmate is a U.S.-flagged vessel. And then a friend of the Hookers went on national television and told the country about the thermal camera. Daniel Danforth, a friend of the couple, told News Nation that Soulmate was equipped with a $33,000 thermal infrared camera system. Not an afterthought, a high-end piece of equipment with self-tracking features and the ability to record movement coming to and from the boat. It could detect a person in the water. It was designed for exactly that. Brian never activated it. Not to search for his wife, not to record what happened. Danforth said he contacted the Coast Guard about the camera in early May. He said the investigators were hearing about it for the first time. Everything points to it not being an accident at all, Danforth told News Nation. There's never been a consistent story. Brian Hooker has not been charged with the crime. His attorney has not commented further. On June 2nd, a 154-foot Coast Guard cutter, Margaret Norville, arrived at Marsh Harbor, Bahamas. On board, specialized divers, remotely operated underwater vehicles, unmanned aerial systems, and a cadaver dog, Canine Maggie, from the Broward County Sheriff's Office. The search was supported by the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. They were not searching the area Brian Hooker described. They were searching the area his GPS pointed to. A section of the Sea of Abaco that investigators identified for the electronic data Brian never mentioned to anyone during the mission. CGIS also took custody of the 8-foot dinghy from Bahamian authorities and transported it back to the United States for forensic examination. On June 6th, the Coast Guard announced that the search had concluded. They declined to say what, if anything, was found, and the investigation remains active. Forensic analysis of the vessels, the electronics, and all recovered evidence is still ongoing. And Carly Ellsworth is still waiting. On Mother's Day, her first without her mom, Carly posted a video message saying, it's pretty hard right now to know that she's not a text away anymore. She posted that knowing the soulmate was in a government warehouse being dismantled by forensic teams. She posted that knowing Brian was free. She posted that knowing her mother's body has never been recovered. She paused that knowing everything she'd said publicly about the choking, about the threats to throw her mother overboard, about the volatile marriage and the drinking and the control was now part of a federal case. And she still doesn't have an answer. The boat was called Soulmate. The tracking went dark for 11 hours. Its $33,000 camera never turned on. The GPS told investigators a story the man on board never did. And Lynette Hooker, 55 years old, from a brick house on Sand Lake in Onsted, Michigan, a mother who once stood on the deck of a boat She was rebuilding and said she was up for the task is still out there somewhere in the waters of the Bahamas, waiting to be found. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. What is going on here? And this is a case that we've been following briefly. I think we've done like one or two pieces on it. It's getting rather compelling, is it not? Should we, if you want us to cover this case more, let us know in the comment section as well. All right, we'll continue that conversation there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.